Joining us right now is a very, very good friend of the show. He is a national college football scribe. You can see him on First Coast News in Jacksonville. He's also a Heisman Trophy voter, and he joins us right now on the show. Brent Beard, longtime friend. He's been coming on my show. How long have we been doing this, Brent? You and I coming on doing shows together. It's been about 10 or 12 years now, right?
Yeah, I think that was when you were about 15 years old when we started. And by the way, tell these people that having you over at their house for the Super Bowl party would be much more entertaining than the game itself.
You just said that, Brent, to a Kansas City Chiefs fan who is now pressing the disconnect button on the call. So that's a problem. Lonzo, do you have anything to say about that?
I'm sure you would be very entertaining at someone else's house, yes.
Okay, there you go. Brent, it's great to have you on. So a major extension today for Ed Orgeron. 6 years, $42 million. Can you walk us through how this came about and in the investment that LSU's making in him?
Well, to a degree, is it a gamble? Probably, because you win a national championship, everybody feels good about you, and then you know how this league is, Mark. 2 or 3 years down the road, if you're 8-4, 9-3, they want to get rid of you regardless. But look, O has done a tremendous job. 6 year, $42 million, 40-9 since taking over at LSU, 11-1. In the last 12 games against top 10 opponents, that will get you a raise and extension, won't it, Mark? So, but I tell you, these hires for coordinators are going to be very important for him. What happened to them this year, frankly, was the perfect storm. They had the perfect coordinators. They had one of the best quarterbacks that we could ever see, stepped up to the line of scrimmage, processed things so quickly, had a chance to cover the Alabama-LSU game, and you could see that in virtually every play. So, but again, Mark, if you win a national championship, you certainly get rewarded for it. They know he can recruit. They have confidence he'll bring in coordinators. The thing is, brother, you can go from the mountaintop to the outhouse in this Western division very quickly, can't you?
Most definitely. Brent, I actually personally feel bad about this one because I was on the laughing at LSU for hiring this guy train. I wasn't the only one on that train. A lot of these guys have disappeared. So you know what I mean? Like that laughed at that hire. But and this is probably a knock on me, but for some reason, I attribute a lot of that success to Joe Brady, to Dave Aranda, and to Joe Burrow. And I am going to watch with utter fascination at Ed Orgeron. You know, I think what we learned was Ed Orgeron was a perfect cultural fit in Baton Rouge, and that he was a great CEO and empowered his employees beautifully. But now there's going to be a downgrade in some of those positions, in some of those employees. And we're really going to see, I think, what he's made up of as a head coach. I honestly expect a significant drop off. I expect 8-4 next year, maybe 9-3, best case scenario. And I'm not still convinced, Brent, that without the best coordinators, I mean, is he a top 10 coach in college football? I feel bad for saying that for a guy that just won a national championship, but the honest response is, I don't know.
Well, and listen, and I would concur with that. We don't know that. Now, to contrast this situation with him and his coordinators, the smartest thing that Ed did was he allowed Dave Aranda and Joe Brady to basically call the shots and let him step back and trust them. Not everybody can do that. And my contrast example of this is Gus Malzahn. He's made the lip service. Yes, Chad Morris and I are really good friends, and Chad's going to call all the plays next year. Now, look, you and I both know, Mark, how long is that going to last?
Right.
a game, a month, maybe. something of that effect. So, and Orgeron said that part of what he learned from being at Ole Miss and USC is he doesn't have to do everything. So, to his credit, if you can recruit the way they do, and you've got a good staff, and your players are of the caliber they are, you can kind of sit back and do that. But I agree with you. You don't lose an SEC virtual first team all-star team and both your coordinators and come back or in the playoffs. I mean, they will take a dip, maybe 9-3, 8-4, as you said. But at this point, next year is a honeymoon year for him anyway. But it will tell the tale where he is in what, 2, 3, 4, 5 years.
Brent Beard joining us, Heisman Trophy voter, First Coast News television sports broadcaster, joining us here on the line. I have a theory, Brent, that a coach is fired exactly 1 year after there's an announcement made that he's returning. So in other words, you never hear an announcement that a coach is returning unless the coach is already embattled and in trouble, right? Will Muschamp is returning for the 2020 season. Where are we with Will Muschamp in South Carolina today in terms of, you know, him as a coach moving forward? The natives obviously restless in Columbia, world-class facilities in Columbia, and as Will Muschamp has always done, very solid recruiting classes coming in.
Yeah, and there's no surprise to that. But will that solid recruiting class translate into wins? That's the problem. Now, with Mike Bobo coming in, and this is another something similar to what you get with Gus Malzahn, is will let Mike run it? And that's going to be crucial for them to be able to have that happen. I like Bobo. I'll say this, and Mark, I know you remember this. Bobo was greatly criticized when he was at Georgia.
Yes,
they're doing the same thing. But, Mark, you remember how smart he got after he left?
Oh, yeah.
Those couple of years right after he left, boy, they missed him then, did they not? So, this is an important year for South Carolina in so many ways. And hopefully Bobo can help them get over that with his recruiting class. Got to be able to settle on the quarterback, the need playmakers, the defense to play better. And look, that they're going to be able, and Will did this at Florida, Mark, you remember this, that they can rally the troops and have this tremendous upset win. And then after that, maybe lose a couple in a row. Because they've lost.
That is the MO every single year. Isn't it weird how like teams always play to their personality? So you know that Clemson is going to have some unexpectedly close game next year.
Right.
You don't know. You don't know which one it's going to be, but you know it's going to be there because it always happens. Yes. You know, and I've had a lot of callers tell me that they did the same thing this year, Brent, that South Carolina is going to upset my Florida Gators next year. And the reality is, you know, they're going to beat one of those teams, right?
Yeah.
One of those teams. And then you look at the teams that they should beat that they're going to lose to. Is it going to be Coastal Carolina? Is it going to be East Carolina that they lose to this year? That is going to be that is going to be oh so interesting as it pertains to South Carolina. Brent, the Senior Bowl isn't what it used to be, but I thought you know, you're kind of reading and looking at the reports, and it really seemed like Jalen Hurts did himself a lot of good this week at the Senior Bowl. And I truly believe that a guy like Lamar Jackson really helps a player like Jalen Hurts. Before Lamar Jackson, you know, Lamar Jackson was sub 50% completions against SEC teams in college. You look at the comparison of Tim Tebow's college passing stats, Lamar Jackson's college passing stats. Mm-hmm. It is a heartbreak for me as a Tim Tebow fan that Tim Tebow didn't play. I think Tebow may have missed his window by about 5 years. Like now, suddenly the NFL is very open to the spread offense quarterback, where they were really reticent to Tim Tebow at the time. But I can't say, Brent, that Jalen Hurts isn't a great NFL prospect, because he's certainly no worse as a passer than Lamar Jackson was when he came into the NFL, and he's every bit the runner that Lamar Jackson is.
Well, he's certainly the athlete. And by the way, I think if Tim had decided to play tight end or another position, and Jacksonville had drafted him, he'd still be here right now playing, to be honest with you. But that's a story on another day. The situation with Jalen always comes down to how accurate is he going to be. And you're right. If he's going to make it in the NFL, he has got an environment and an atmosphere, and the timing in life is always crucial that he might be able to do it at this point. Now, I've also heard that there were some reports that he really struggled with his accuracy at times this week. And then there were times, Mark, that he impressed folks with his savvy, with his leadership, with his running ability. And he was able to connect and make some good decisions. So wherever he goes and whatever he does, you have to look at it with balance, because, Mark, it's a real mixed bag with him, is it not?
It really, really is. And but I think he's got incredible leadership ability. Yes. I think he, unlike Lamar Jackson, I think he's got the body to withstand NFL punishment, and he's got the work ethic to want to succeed. And, you know, look, I think he opened some eyes with Oklahoma this year with what he was able to do passing the football. You know, it kind of seemed like a square peg in a round hole, like a weird Lincoln Riley flex wanting to show everybody how smart he is, right? Hey, look, I can give me anybody you say can't pass, and we'll lead the nation in offense. But then again, you know, Jalen went there, was very, very successful, was awesome to see. Brent, thank you for the kind words, encouraging people to invite me to their Super Bowl parties. I always appreciate that, sir, and always appreciate your insight in season and off season. You're a true friend. All the best to you and the family for a happy and healthy 2020. All right?
Absolutely, brother. Always good to be on with you too. Take care.
All right, take care. Brent Beard, Heisman Trophy voter, formerly of Lindy Sports and now of First Coast News in Jacksonville.